Well, I'm excited to bring the word to you today. I'm continuing the third of my 5 W's of God series. And this has been fun for me because it's given me something to have to continue to go back to. But it's also been easy to study these messages because I've been in need of them myself. And it seems like every time that I'm preaching a message, I have something relating to the message that works for me that I needed to hear from God. And Pastor spoke last week about the dry season, and that just falls right into what I'm going to be talking about today, because today we're going to talk about the question of where is God? And in the middle of our dry season, when problems come our way, we start to scream that often. We get into a spot where we haven't felt blessings in a long time, and we feel like God has abandoned us, and we're asking, where is he? I'm under attack, where is he? When the enemy's at your door, you consistently ask, where is God? If you go to Exodus 14:14, the Bible says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." That's hard for some of us, especially us pastors. Where is he? He is in the middle of the battle, winning it on your behalf. God is the solver of all of your problems. So when problems come your way, you don't need to ask where he's at, because he is solving your problems. That is where he is at. And challenges have to come into your life as a Christian, because without adversity, faith means nothing. Faith that lasts only in the good times is not real. Faith is meant and built for the hard times. And true faith saves faith in hard times. Think about when Jesus walked on stormy seas and Peter joined him. Acknowledging Jesus made Peter forget about the storm and begin to do the impossible. But it's when he gave the storm his attention that he lost sight of Jesus and started sinking. That's when he started to need the question, where is God? Life is not about the storms you are in. It's about knowing that if you look long enough, you will see Jesus in them. So in hard times, ask yourself, what lesson am I being taught? Because the quicker you learn that lesson, the sooner you can move on from the adversity you're in. I've learned that in my life, that every time I'm going through something, I have to understand, I have to search for, what is God trying to teach me? He is trying to grow me somewhere. What do I need to learn, God? And I've also learned that God is always at war for you. If you go to Psalms 23, I'm going to read the entire scripture. Matt, it's at the very bottom. We're going to read the entire scripture, and if you are a little worried about that online or anybody else, it's a very short one. He leads you into battle sometimes. That's what this is saying to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the point, the one everybody knows. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to focus on verse 3 there, because there's something that leads you into knowing why you're going through hard times. It says, he leads me beside the still waters. Sometimes will bring you into peace. He restores my soul. Well, why does your soul need restoring? Because it's been through challenges. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So why are you going through what you're going through? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. And guess what? He led you there, which means he is right where he wants you to be, and he is right where he needs to be. God brought you here for a reason. This whole storm you're going through is a part of his plan. Your valley of the shadow of death is something that you're going through for a purpose. That's the key part of that scripture, the through. It doesn't say that he takes you into it and then leaves you. It says that he's taking you through it for his name's sake. That means he is waiting for his opportunity to provide a miracle for you so others can see him and be glorified by that. Now, I know personally what that's like, going through the middle of a storm. I've had a challenging few months as far as my health goes and my mental health goes. And making the sermon today, I was sitting down, I think a few days before today, maybe Thursday, and I started writing out part of my sermon, and I started to pray to God, and God just spoke to me to write what I was saying to him and to write whatever came to my heart. And I wanted to share that with you guys because, one, it's relevant to the sermon, but two, I hope you get something from this. I titled this, I Am Thankful for My Storms. My depression had to get so bad that I thought it would drown me before I remembered I could swim. Anxiety had to get so scary that I forgot I never wanted to see that me again. If I couldn't say I didn't recognize myself, I'd have never recognized myself. I go through these storms that I'm going through for the four little faces in the back that got my name, so I can teach them how to overcome instead of just carry the pain. I'm not living with these struggles. I'm fighting them, learning their weaknesses. So when my kids get to the point where they ask how to get past their depression, I can have an answer for them. I can't prevent anxiety and depression and sorrow from coming their way, but I can fight those feelings in me now. And I can learn what brings me victory. I'm battle scarred so they don't have to be. I'm not content surviving my problems because that means my problems survive me. Then a part of what I pass down to my children becomes broken armor and a dull sword. Instead, I'm choosing to fight. I'm standing on my two feet and I'm taking my swings. Yes, I've been losing, but God, I know you see me fighting. It's no longer about the end of my life, because now I'm looking into my problem's eyes and saying, because of God, it's the end of yours. When the day comes where my children fight those dragons of depression and anxiety for the first time, they won't be alone, because there I will be teaching them what I have learned. You see, I let my dragon's fire burn every bit of me. It scarred me, it broke me, and it lived inside my mind for years, waging wars I could never seem to win, but not my kids. Their dragons won't get the chance to break them. Instead, they can live the life of peace my wars won for them. I went through hard times so I could learn the burden of my imperfection was not my cross to carry. That was God's. God let the weight of the world on my shoulders get so heavy that I cried out to him. I can't carry this load anymore. And when I did, do you know what he said to me? Joe, you never had to. You picked up my load. God has guided me where I'm supposed to go. He's brought me into comfort, into safety, into good times, but also he's taken me where I'm supposed to go. And sometimes it's just to glorify his name. Yes, my circumstance may look bad, but I'm not afraid because the one I trust is in control of my path. And if I got God, I've got peace. My life isn't good because of my circumstances. My life is good because of God, no matter my circumstances. So where is God? He is in the middle of your problems, fighting for you. When you are looking for him, look in the middle of the storm, because that's where Jesus lies. That's where God lies. But we continue to ask ourselves other wheres. There's other ways we use where is God, and from time to time we get lonely and scared. We ask ourselves, where is he? I've trusted in him, but I feel alone. That's a big one that people use a lot. They feel alone, so they start to ask where God is at. Well, where is God? I don't feel so close to him. I've been coming every Sunday. I've been doing all the right things. I don't feel him. Where is he? The truth is, he is in your heart. Psalms 27:10. Even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is always there with you and for you. When you stray off the path, God's still with you. When you've fallen back into sin, God's still with you. God's love is permanent. It's unlike anything you've ever seen in this life. It's why you need to get into it and fall into love with God, because it is impossible for you to experience anything like it. When hard times come, it's the same love. When you fail, it's the same love. When the world says you mean nothing, it's the same love. And when you can't seem to love yourself, it's the same love. God's love is permanent and endless, and you need that in your life because he's always right there with you. Where is God? He's right here in your heart. He gave you the Holy Spirit to have you have him all the time. He lives in you. We've all dealt with the attacks of the devil telling us in our head that we aren't enough and we can't be loved. And there's all those voices that are telling you that you're making mistakes, that God can't save you. Maybe you're not really saved. Maybe you won't make it to heaven. There's all of these voices that the devil is putting into our hearts. Don't listen to those. Instead, pray. Worship. Open up the word and listen to his voice. His voice says you are never alone, never forsaken. That means more than any attack of the devil. One attack of the devil that I found to be his best and most effective, not only in my life, but in the lives of others that I've watched, is that he makes you doubt yourself. So you start doubting God. I'm not good enough, God. You can't do anything with me. That's doubting God. It sounds like you're doubting yourself. It sounds like you're saying, I don't have the education or the finances to do anything. But what you're really saying is, God, you're not powerful enough to do in me what you want because I'm too weak. He makes you think you're all alone. When the truth is, God is fighting for you, comforting you, making your future paths clean. You have to draw near to God. Because the devil is going to try to isolate you. It begins with self-hate. When you start to hate yourself, the spirit gets quieter in you, until eventually the voices that tell you to hate yourself are so loud, the spirit is quiet in the back of your mind, and you got to really focus to find it. And now he's isolated you. What your job is to do when those attacks come is to draw near to him. How do you do that? You pray. You worship. You hear his word. You turn on a sermon. You turn on a message. Anybody, find any message. I'm not telling you to come online to AustinAliveChurch.com. I'm not doing any of that. I'm saying find a message from someone you care and listen to it. You need to be around other believers. Because sometimes their light will flicker your light on. They'll wake you up. You need to read the Bible as well. That's one I think a lot of the younger generations have forgotten about. That it's not simply enough for you to go and like type in a certain scripture online and keep reading it. You need to pick up the book. You could do it through your phone, whatever it is. Pick up the book and read it. Because that is the way God speaks to you. It's in those words that he gives you revelation. It's in those words that he gives you what your heart needs to fight the devil's voice in your head. So before you ask God, where is he? Just draw nearer to him. During hard times, what's hard is that Satan dangles little carrots of comfort in front of you. He's like a cowboy with a fish rope right in front of you, and the horse is chasing the carrot. He's just right there giving you all these little ideas of how to comfort yourself in hard times. He says, like, go ahead, have another drink. It's all right. You need to go to the club and have some fun. It's all right. If you pop that pill, you'll feel better. The drugs will make you feel good. You deserve a break. You've been going every Sunday. Take your break. Go spend that money. You don't need to save it. Just go spend it away. I know that person's hurt you. Truth is, you don't gotta love them. Who needs church? You can have church right here in your house. You don't need to be around other believers. You don't need a church home. If they've hurt you, go ahead and tell them about themselves. You do you. Hey, I know your marriage is going through hard times. Cheating only matters if you get caught. It's okay. Slip in the room. Watch that porn. Go. Get promiscuous. Find a stranger. Have some random sex. It's what everybody does now. It feels good. It's good for you. Live it up. Those are lies that the devil tells you to pull you away from God. And they sound good. They taste good, some of them. They feel good, most of them. But what they do is they strip you away from the closeness to God. Oftentimes, when we have to ask, where is God? It is us who have created the distance. Because we've allowed the devil to put the distance in our heart. And he doesn't do it by making all of these bad things happen in your life all the time. Sometimes he gets you comfortable. So you feel like you don't need them. So you feel like you got it on your own. I've got a plan. I've got a system. I go home and I take a couple of drinks. I take a sleeping pill and I go to bed and I wake up and I feel fine. Yeah, because you were asleep. But all the while, an addiction is growing. All of the while, a reliance is growing. 5-6 years down the line, you're no longer addicted to God. You're addicted to a substance. And now you got to find yourselves in healing. And now you need God more than ever, but you don't know how to get close to him because you've isolated yourself from him. That is what the devil does to you. And when we start taking comfort in things that are not God, we become more tempted by sin. The further away you get from God, the less like yourself you're going to be. There are people that I know today that I would have said would never drink, but it started little by little. They stopped coming to church. They stopped reading the word. They stopped forcing a smile on their face. And before you know it, that high school kid who always turned down to drink is an alcoholic now. The young man I knew and I grew up with who said he'd never do drugs has got a drug addiction now. Because when you get away from God and you fall into the devil, he's going to start putting himself into you. And he's going to strip away the God if you let him. Don't fall for those lies. Find your comfort in God. He is there always and he's ready for you. He's right here in your heart. He can't get any closer to you. When you go through storms, the devil is right there watching God be in them with you. And he's just hoping you don't notice him. When the storm is raging around you, the devil has just got his fingers crossed. Please don't see Jesus. Please don't see Jesus. Don't realize that he's in your heart. I hope they don't realize that he's right there, that the Holy Spirit is right there. The devil will have you believe that you need to ask God where he's at when he's right there with you every single time. The last of the where is God questions, this is some that I've heard a lot in the church world. This is very specific to the church world. Oh, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. This generation, they're just addicted to their sin, aren't they? Oh, I don't have anything that's a blessing. It's been a while since God's blessed me. My life is miserable. I keep praying, man, but God ain't listening to me. Oh, life sucks. Where is God? Ooh, this world, where is God? Do you see what the devil is doing? Do you see what the politicians have done to our world? Where is God? This is the most key thing that has ever helped me in my entire life. I have learned that God is in the beauty of this world, and that is literally everywhere. The world is such a beautiful place. Yes, it's damaged by sin, but it's still so beautiful. Yes, there's challenges and there's heartache and there's famine and war. There's all sorts of disease. There's sin taking things over. It's all of these challenges are right in front of us. But don't get stuck on the negativity because the world that God created for us is so beautiful. For me, one of the things I love the most is like when you're outside and the moonlight peers through the tree branches for the first time at night. I just love that so much because it's such a magnificent thing that like the problems that I have seem so small when I'm looking at something so magnificent. Yeah, like the bank account tells me, all the bankers and the doctors, all these men tell me that there's these problems in my life. But like that moonlight peering through the trees is my reminder that there's a God above all of them. And it doesn't matter what they've got to say to me because somebody, all they've created for me is a letter that says there's some debt, but God created that right there. Man, that's beautiful. That's so much bigger than what they're trying to tell me. You know, one of the biggest things in my life is that I stay up later than my wife almost every single day. And one of the most wonderful parts of my day is when I'm at the end of the night sitting in my chair, I got a podcast in my headphones and a controller in my hand, and I look over and she's peacefully sleeping with the baby. In those moments, nothing else matters. The storms seem to go away in those moments because I've realized over time that in those moments, I'm not focused on the storm. I'm focused on my biggest blessing. The Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. And in those moments, I'm reminded of that. That, yeah, I'm going through storms, but I get to go through it with her. And you know what? I'd rather go through storms with her than have a good life without her. I don't focus on my problems. I focus on my blessings. I'm trying to never forget what God has done for me. Truthfully, a thing about me is that I'm a history buff and a man of logic. Well, my history says God's a provider. And logic says he's not going to change. So what do I have to do? I just have to keep finding the beauty in God, finding the beauty in the world. When the devil says that God has left me, I know that's not true. Because every night I go and I look at my children and I see four living, breathing blessings who love me. How can God abandon me? The devil can't make me feel worthless when I'm spending time taking pride in how my family looks up to me and how I've become a man that my family needs. How can I take the moment to listen to the devil's attack when I'm spending time living in my perfect blessings that he's given me? I'm always curious how we parents can ask God, where is he? Look in the back seat. That's where he's at. Look at those gifts he gave you. That's where he's at. Sometimes those kids get a little rowdy and it gets annoying sometimes. Everybody's been there. You're not supposed to talk about it, but every parent has wanted to just, you're right in the back of the head sometimes. But everybody's been there. But you know what? Those are the biggest blessings in your life. That spouse that you have, that job that you've wanted. There's so much beauty that God has given us. There's beauty in nature. You can go outside and see the way the clouds form in the middle of the night and start to form into the morning. You can watch a sunset. You can see the way the trees. Austin has still got a lot of trees, guys. I know it feels like there's just a big old city, but there's still a lot of trees to look at. You can watch the birds or see squirrels walk by. Nature is such a beautiful thing. And no matter what the devil does, it's still there. There's beauty in people. Yeah, they're going to hurt you sometimes. But I found that every person has hurt me. If I watch them long enough, I see something I admire in them. I see something that I would like to take in myself from them. And I find that when I isolate myself, I can survive, but I really start to thrive when I'm able to look at other people and see the impact that they have. And I just love seeing smiles on people's faces because it's a beautiful thing. Like, we're here together. It's so special. We have such an ability, especially as Christians, to unite under that. That's such a powerful and beautiful thing that we don't think about often enough. And here's a hard one. There's beauty in your heartache. There's so much beauty in pain. And every moment that I've missed somebody who was gone, you know, for one, I'll share a personal one with you. As a kid, we got together for Avery Christmas, and my Uncle Rodney would always get under the tree and he'd pass the presents out to everybody. And it was something that I appreciated as a kid. But here I am as an adult, and I don't know, it's been more than 5 years now that he's been gone, getting closer to 10. I can't remember exactly, but I appreciate those memories so much more now. They mean so much to me now. And every Christmas, it's like I get teary-eyed because I look at the moments that I had and I was living them, but the heartache that I felt when he went, it's led me to be able to appreciate those moments in a new way. Yes. It's made me cherish them more. And each time I've lost somebody in my life, it's made me come closer to the people I still have. Yes. And as I've, you know, it could even get to other things like this week, a wrestler, my son's favorite, Bray Wyatt, he passed away. He's 36 years old. He had a heart attack. It's such a tragic thing. And you see and I was a big fan. And then you start to see all the outpouring of his personal stories and the ones that you kind of knew a little bit and you had an idea of it. But then, like, I didn't really know that much about the man until he passed. And now I admire the man more than the character. And then I look at him and I say, he's only 5 years older than me. So I start to think to myself, I got to spend more time with my family. Heartache can bring so many good things to us. Heartache can bring so many good responsibilities in your life. There is beauty in every single day. There is beauty in every single moment. In my marriage, if hard times never came, I'd never know how deeply we love each other. We are so sure of others' commitment because when others would have failed, we continue to choose each other. That's my biggest pride in life. It's that there was a time when me and Tanisha were broke young folk in our early 20s with no money and multiple kids. Both of us in the middle of a mental health crisis. Our own personal mental health crisis. And we didn't know how to talk to each other about it. We were going through these things as adults for the first time. She was off in her world with her depression, and I was off in mine with my depression. We fought and we bickered, but we loved each other through those times. And we got each other through those times. And even in the middle of those struggles, even in the middle of that heartache, we created so many great memories in those times. And I could look back at those times in my life and I could think about, man, look at what we lost in all those moments. And I wish we would have got things together. But instead, I look at it and it's like, we tried for each other. We tried for each other, and that's so beautiful. That gives you such a sureness in your marriage. That love that we had for each other is what got us out of that crisis and onto the path of healing. It wasn't something we discovered. It was that I woke up and I did my best to love her, and that helped her. And she woke up, and in spite of her storm, she woke up and tried to help me. And before you knew it, we had gotten out of the storms ourselves together. It's such a beautiful thing. And in my marriage, I'll tell you, I would not take a single storm we've been through out of the way. Not one. Because when I lay my head down at night, I know for sure she's not going anywhere. I know for sure she loves me. I know for sure our marriage is built on God. I know for sure we have got a foundation that cannot be shaken. Because when it had a time that we could have separated, that we could have focused on us, and we could have really made it about let's get us together, we got God in our marriage even more than we've ever had. And it put a foundation that can't be cracked into our marriage. And so those storms got us to have the exact kind of marriage that you're supposed to have. God first, spouse next. Yes, it is so powerful that those storms created us in the way we are now, and I would never relive my 20s. Not because I'm afraid of them, but because I'm afraid I would change something. And I love where we've ended up. I love what God has done for us. I love how much of the storms have shaken off of our back. I love how many times that God has proven his realness to us. The time where Liana was supposed to be in the car and we had a car wreck and she wasn't there. And she would have died if she was there. And if God hadn't have spoken to my wife and told her not to put in the car, my daughter would be dead. The time we went to a swimming pool and my son snuck off and he drowned. And he was dead. And we got him up and we pushed him back to life. And he's back there, just as goofy as ever. Just, we had so many opportunities for the storms to take things away from us, but God just kept saying no. God just kept saying no. God just kept taking those things from us. He kept taking that pain from us, and we never had to ask where he was, because every time we were at the end of our rope, we found his hand telling us, I got you. That's exactly how I feel with God. In my relationship with him, I couldn't have been built up if I was never broken. I couldn't help people if people never hurt me. I've been through it, and I'm still in it. But I live to serve God, and I know he's got me. Life is like a painting. God is the artist, and I've learned that I'm a paintbrush. God had his colors all planned out, and he's got a vision mapped out. And if I just let him use me, he's going to make a masterpiece. All I've got to do is be willing to be used in those times. Don't ask questions. Don't ask him where he's at. Just wait for his hand to grab me out of the bucket, dip me in the beautiful paint he's trying to paint, and put a picture on my life that I could never have the ability to paint myself. People like us, all of us have flaws, but there's still so much beauty in all of us. It's within you. Discover that. Listen to God and let him tell you why he made you, what your purpose is, and what he loves about you. You're an individual that God created. That means there's something special in you. Beth, there's something special in you that God put in you. Take pride in that. Stephen, there's something that God put in you. Take pride in that. It doesn't have to be something big. Don't look and say, I wish I could be one of the people on the silver screen. God made you for a purpose and with a reason. And the paintbrush doesn't tell the artist what they should paint. It just gets used. Christians, I leave you with this today. The devil's lies are ugly. The storms he sets about on you wreak havoc. And life can look so bleak when your focus is on him. Don't ask, where is God? Instead, look for the beauty in every single situation. God is beauty. And when you find beauty, you find God. Isn't that smiling face across the aisleway? When you say, excuse me, and somebody smiles, it seems small, but that beauty of happiness in somebody, that's God. And everybody knows the life is like a box of chocolates. I've got my own spin on that. Life is like a box of chocolates. Some of the pieces in the box are real nasty. All right, they're gross. The filling is disgusting, all right? And you could spend all your time complaining about those nasty little chocolates. Or you could just set the nasty ones aside and enjoy the ones you like we all do. You woke up in pain again today, set that nasty chocolate aside. Tonight, you got plans to sit down with your spouse and watch the new episode of Y'all Show. Focus on that. Enjoy that chocolate. No matter how bleak your circumstance looks, search for beauty. Focus on that. God left so much beauty in this world for you. But Christians, you need to understand, He left so much beauty inside of you. So the next time you feel like asking, where is God? Cling to the beauty. Cling to the beauty and stop asking questions. Just be that paintbrush and let Him make a masterpiece. Yeah, there's storms, but He's right there with you. That's your sign. Find the beauty in life. Find the beauty in the moment. Search for it and cling to it, because that beauty is your sign that He's right there like He always promised He would be. Thank you.